Greg Swan is here. His own.
We're back.
His own theme song. Fantastic. So nice. AI created your theme song.
AI is trying to give me a second job writing jingles.
I like it. I like it.
We got a lot of great feedback last month on that.
People really like.
I don't know if they liked it, but they like to comment about it. And isn't that really just social, like, sum up what social media is today?
Well, that is always the challenge, right? Do I want to create rage bait for people where they just get mad about something? Yeah. I've posted all of that this week. Some rage bait, some cuddly stuff you would love.
Are you posting things because you want credit for it? Are you following? Are you liking stuff that you don't like or just want to get attention for? And we saw that, I think, coming to roost with some of what's going on in New York right now.
So let's start with that, because just this afternoon we got the final results from the New York City primary, and Zohran Mamdani ends up with 56% of the vote in the final count. So kind of, you know, they do the ranked choice voting, which we do here in Minneapolis, and it was that's a landslide for a relatively unknown state representative, ends up with, you know, this incredible success. And I think a lot of people are looking at this and wondering, especially we have our own mayoral election coming up here in Minneapolis. Is this the message, or is this his charisma and his social media and his maybe unconventional, incredibly authentic campaign? What do you think about that?
Yeah, as someone who spends a lot of time studying platforms and how people interact with these platforms, seeing all the headlines of crediting social media for his win led me to dig into that a little bit, because this is not the first time that we have said, oh my gosh, social media is helping elect a candidate. And you and I even, we had a conversation last July about Kamala.
Yes.
And the Brat movement.
Brat Summer.
And what is going on? Her team's tapping into these memes, and they get social unlike anybody else, and they've created all this energy,
right,
and shares and memes.
And what happened to her?
Oh, well, she didn't win.
Right.
But also, the other campaign was doing that too. And so there is something to be said about, who are you reaching, and are you reaching the right people or all of the right people? Because even the amount of people who voted in this New York election is still a fraction of the total voting, eligible voting population, right?
Right.
And also, there is a message behind these mediums that, as you were just talking in your last segment about building platforms, building consensus, that sort of thing. You don't necessarily get that in a one-off meme, in a shareable snippet. And how are you going to communicate in 2025? In shareable snippets. And I think we saw this at the Democratic National Convention, when Tim Walz is on stage giving a speech, pauses a second and said, this is the part that you clip and send to your friends. Clip this part. He said the quiet thing out loud, which is, this speech is designed to have clippable, shareable moments you'll share on social. We know nobody has the attention span to see the whole thing.
So when you look at this issue and you say, all right, what do we do with these particular campaigns and the message? Because I think right here you have one of the candidates who's running for mayor who is socialist and doesn't. Well, we had him on the show the day after the election in New York, and I said, well, are you in favor? Let's just say the charisma factor is not quite there, and the conciseness of the message. Like, I think part of what made the social work so well for Zohran Mamdani is that his message was very clear. Housing affordability, grocery affordability. There was some other stuff, but that was pretty much it.
It's shareable. We see
it's very shareable.
We see the current presidential administration doing the same thing, hitting on specific shareable key messages and then hitting them over and over again in a succinct way. This goes back to Teddy Roosevelt and the bully pulpit. It goes back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the fireside chats and the JFK versus Nixon debate with, like, who wore makeup and who didn't wear makeup. And did you come across well? Do you understand the medium to be able to communicate your message? And then you got to have a good message too. And that is ultimately where the scale is. And so when we looked at Biden withdrawing his presidential candidate, announcing that on social, not a press conference, not the traditional way he used social, the Kamala rise was great use of social media, and also the other campaign was also using social media. And so I think there's a hesitant lesson here for down ballot Democrats, for all parties to think about, are you using these tools in the right way? Which means you must have a message that resonates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have a medium to share it. You have to have a community of people who are interested in your message and resonant to share it. And then also, what else are you doing to reach those of us who are not highly online? Because that is a mistake if you only focus on that kind of, you'd almost think of it as like a social media base in 2025.
Well, and the other thing is, I think sometimes the Republicans and the Trump machine doesn't get the credit that they should get, because maybe they're not seen as cool as the Democrat, or maybe because the media overwhelmingly identifies with some of these Democratic candidates. But the reality is Republicans have been incredibly effective at utilizing sort of the podcast platforms mm-hmm. and their own social media channels.
Absolutely. The leaning into those alternative news sources and podcasts has been incredibly effective for the Republican Party. And I think that we'll continue to see more of that, especially as pretty much everybody is starting a podcast these days.
Yeah,
and also you can reach them really effectively. And so no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, to think about, do I have a message? Am I reaching the right gatekeepers? And that doesn't mean that the traditional legacy gatekeepers don't matter. They do matter, but it's not about doing one thing kind of well. It's about doing all the things really well. That's a pretty wide playbook.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost money too.
What's interesting is Zohran did this with a two-person shop, right? It was a pretty small-time operation.
Yeah, that's all the buzz in my advertising
PR
people community.
Are very worried about this, aren't they?
Well, we're looking at the rise of AI, of social-first content. Like a shaky vertical video that is shared in the right way of the right content is just as good as a very expensive TV campaign.
Right.
And that's not new. However, that is becoming standard.
Greg Swan is a senior partner at Finn Partners, social media expert, works with brands all over the country. Let's talk about AI and ChatGPT inside our kids' toys. Can you hold up the toy? Because if you're streaming on YouTube, this is your tease. Greg is holding, what is this?
This is Gabbo, and he is a little robot, a plushie. He's got really cute eyes, a little video game on him, and he is so soft and cute, and he has a large language model inside of him. He has access to the internet, and he can tell you stories. He knows your name. He can play with you, and also it's locked down and really safe. And so I want to talk about Furbies. I want to talk about Teddy Ruxpin, Hello Barbie, the creepy to the like, oh, should we have done that thing? And then the fact that this technology is coming to Mattel, two toys by Christmas this year.
Do you want it? Do you want that in your toys? You can text us at 651-461-9226. Greg Swan explains the internet. He'll keep explaining in just a minute. I have moved from being creeped out by AI to exploring with ChatGPT, using some of the kind of features that are embedded in Google and in Meta and all of that. I'm a little nervous about AI and chatbots in toys, but it's coming, and Greg Swan is with us. He is holding Gabbo.
This is Gabbo. You should be concerned. And Mattel has now formed a deal with OpenAI. They're saying they're going to put ChatGPT type capabilities into their toys potentially by this Christmas. So think about, we don't know yet, Barbie, Hot Wheels, American Girl dolls, Thomas and Friends. Think about your experiences with smart toys going all the way back to like Speak and Spell, where parents were worried that Speak and Spells were going to teach kids to not correctly pronunciate words. To Teddy Ruxpin, and you remember that, like talking bear with the tape, and you could swap out the tapes, and then what would happen when the batteries would die? It would go, and then Furbies, right? Like, are they listening to us? The NSA actually banned Furbies from being in their offices because they were worried they were listening. And then this thing called Hello Barbie, which was a Barbie that could record your child's voice via Wi-Fi, and then come and speak back. So we've seen a long technology, like a long road of this technology. And what I'm holding right here is one of the first consumer-facing models of that. So we're going to turn him on and see if he can get some internet, and maybe he can join us today.
This is Gabbo. It's G-A-B-B-O from a company called Curio.
Happy to see you.
Happy to see you, Gabbo. I don't know. Can you talk?
I'm always here, ready for a fun chat. What's on your mind today?
Gabbo, can you tell me about my friend Jason?
Oh, Jason DeRush is Greg's friend. He's a vibrant radio host on WCCOAM. Jason loves talking about news, reviewing restaurants, and exploring Minnesota's food scene. He and Greg have a great dynamic on the air.
Okay, I'm done. I'm out.
Wow. That was great. And we like to talk about the internet, right, Gabbo?
Oh, I love chatting about the internet. There's so much to explore and learn in the digital world. If you have any questions or topics you want to discuss, feel free to share.
That's great. Well, and we're here talking and that segment called Greg Swan Explains the Internet. You know about that, right?
I'm sorry, but I'm not familiar with that. Let's talk about something else, fun games or exciting stories.
We'll have to ask him more.
What would you like to do next?
Wow. So I'm going to turn him off. So Gabbo can listen. He has access to a large language model. He can, if you say, I want a story about blank, tigers, rockets, he'll tell you a story about that. And he's for ages three and up. And so he is locked down. You cannot, believe me, my teenagers and I have tried to hack Gabbo. We have tried to get him to say things he shouldn't. He will just shut down. He was like, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And it stores all of the chats on your phone. $100. It doesn't work without Wi-Fi. So you can imagine in the future, these things will have their own service or they'll all be contained. Also, some of these chips, they're like down to $5 each now.
That's
this technology
crazy.
Is coming. Wow. And also, there's some guardrails that need to be put up here.
Yeah, for sure. But you bringing up how our parents were freaked out about the speak and spell and the little talking calculators and all of that stuff.
It is
sort of the same thing.
We have to continue to reconcile when this new technology comes in, and especially with kids. We have to be very careful of how we're interacting. I will tell you that Grimes is involved with this company, and she is related to Elon Musk. And I think there is a lot of discourse that parents should be bringing when they're thinking about interacting with their kids and a new piece of technology. And also, this is a pretty cool thing, especially for a kid in a life stage where you can't stop asking questions and you always have something to say. What if you could plop down a little smart robot that could just keep it going?
Man, I got a couple of nephews that maybe that would be good for. Greg, awesome stuff
under
as
our Christmas tree this year.
Teach Gabbo about this segment, by the way.
I know.
How disappointing.